though. On Monday morning, Sam, who's on prayers this morning, sent me a text. "Hi, can you give me some tips for prayers for Sunday, please?" Now, clearly she's far more organised than I am. It was Monday. I was still getting over last week. My first response was, "Lol, I haven't done much yet." Then I thought I'd better give her something. I had actually read the letter, so I added, "Simple message in 1 John, God is love, God is light, walk the talk." OMG, in the literal sense of the word. They look like hashtags. And I thought, I reckon John would have loved Twitter. And I wonder if that idea could hold up for an entire sermon. So we're going to test that this morning. Now, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I rarely tweet. Most of my tweets have been about football or responding to or liking posts of other people. I'm not very good at hashtags, and I've learned to look up a hashtag before I use it in case it actually means the opposite of what I think it should. And now, that's particularly important as a Carlton fan, because hashtag blues could mean I support Carlton, I like Billie Holiday music, or I'm feeling down, sad face. Generally, I seek hashtag guidance before posting. Now, who here thinks they're good at hashtags? Excellent, we have one. Who, like me, uses them sparingly? Yep. Who has no idea what I'm talking about? Purely for research purposes, I looked up the top 10 hashtags on Instagram in 2019. What do you think the top 10 are? Just call out. Yep. Any others?
Brexit.
Me too. POTUS. Yep. Okay. The number one hashtag for 2019 is love. It's been used in 1.6 billion posts. The top five are rounded out by hashtag InstaGood, hashtag photo of the day, hashtag fashion, hashtag beautiful. Now that's quite telling of what Instagram's focus is. Now if you thought that maybe the next five might lean towards a social conscience, sorry. Hashtag happy, hashtag like for like, hashtag pick of the day, hashtag TBT, hashtag art. Now, for the uninitiated, TBT, and I had to look this up, is Throwback Thursday. Or just throwback. In other words, looking back fondly at a memory. So then I looked up the top 10 Christianity tweets, which returned this. Now, what do you notice about this list? It's the top 10 Christianity tweets. What do you notice? There's only eight. Thank you. It is good to see that Jesus makes it to the list.
There you are.
Excellent. We'll just pop it in the pocket. For those listening online, that was me getting my microphone replaced. So it's good to see that Jesus makes the list. It is interesting that the Holy Spirit doesn't make top 10, although with further research showed it made the top 20. Hashtag love makes it to this list as well, which is a good thing. But I set myself the challenge of hashtagging John's letter. So let's do what hashtags do and break it down, then sum it up. Hashtag God is light. And we're in 1 John 1, verse 5, through to chapter 2, verse 2, if you want to follow it in your Bibles. Hashtag God is light. Now, this is a fairly easy one because it's in the text. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. As Steve reminded us last week, John writes as someone who saw, listened to, and travelled with Jesus. So when he says, we heard this from him, Jesus, and proclaim it to you, he means, I heard Jesus say that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. God is a God of light, not dark. As a church, at a principal level, that means transparency, visibility, and openness are important to God. Scripturally, we're familiar with the idea that God shines a light in the darkness and the darkness tries to hide. Occasionally, we even sing about it. Light is a theme that's present in all of John's writing. It's in the fourth gospel, in his letters, and in Revelation. In John's gospel, in chapter 3's conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus talks about God loving people and sending his light, Jesus, into the world. But people loving darkness instead, because they don't want their evil deeds to be exposed. And the section finishes in John 3:21 with an affirmation of those who will choose the light of Christ. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And in Revelation 21:23, in the vision of the New Jerusalem, he describes, the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light and its lamp is the Lamb. Both here and in 1 John and in the Gospel, the implication of God's light coming into the world and people coming into the light is an ethical one. That God is light lays the basis for verses 6 to 10, which I've hashtagged collectively as walk the talk. Starting with verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. Steve said last week, John's letter is pastoral. He's writing to churches where there are agitators drawing believers away from the church. And they're promoting ideas that are contrary to those that have brought them into the faith. And the easier prospect that the high ethical standards of the community and the care they have for each other aren't necessary. That the community itself isn't necessary. John's response is a kind of, talk is cheap. You've got to put your life where your mouth is. If you proclaim Christ, but don't walk in the light, he says, you can't claim to know God, because God is light and has no relationship with darkness. If we walk in darkness, we lie and don't do what is true. Now you can see, again, the close association with the verse that we looked at from John's Gospel in chapter 3:21. Those who do what is true come to the light. John's point is, you can say you know God all you like, but unless you live in the light of truth, living for good and not evil, then any claim to know God is a lie. He repeats his case in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then he takes it even further in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This is the argument that John builds. Verse 6. Claiming fellowship with God but walking in darkness makes you a liar. Verse 8. Claiming to be without sin, not committing sins, means you're lying to yourself and makes God out to be a liar as well. Verse 10. Now, John's not accusing people, the people he's writing to, of walking in darkness. He's telling them the consequences of listening to and acting on the bad advice of those who are drawing people away from the church. And the video we saw talked about John circling back on themes. So he makes sure to remind them of the positives of knowing God and walking in the light. So verses 7 and 9 are the counter-arguments to verse 6 and 8. They could be hashtagged forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we also see it in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. It's part of God's faithful and just nature to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some New Testament letters address the problem of cheap forgiveness, the idea that because we're forgiven, we can sin as much as we like, behave as badly as we like, and it will be okay because God has to forgive us. The problem here that John's addressing, it's not the opposite, but it's a variation. It denies the need for forgiveness at all. It's a kind of weird hybrid implying that once you're a believer, you can't sin, and therefore forgiveness for anything you do isn't necessary once you know God. And John says, knowing God, walking in the light, doesn't mean you'll never sin, but it does mean you don't have to hide from God. You can confess and repent of sin as you walk with God in the light, because the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from sin. And we'll also see at the beginning of chapter 2 the role of Jesus as the advocate in that process. Aside from forgiveness, the other positive consequence of walking in the light is that we have fellowship with one another. We just sang the song, God loves everyone and you and you and you and you. That idea of fellowship with each other is very important in Christian community. I've hashtagged this God is love, which is a key topic for chapter 4 of John's letter. And it may seem a bit left field here, given it says we have fellowship with one another. It might be more natural to think that the benefit of walking in the light is fellowship with God. We get both. When we have fellowship with God, as we walk in the light, we also have fellowship with one another. The people drawing believers away from the church were claiming it's possible to have fellowship with God without having fellowship with other believers. But for John, fellowship is a blessing and a sign of God's love and forgiveness. Now, our time is actually doing fairly well. So I'm going to get you to break up into small groups, two or three people, and spend a few minutes talking about what you value about fellowship with each other. okay, if you start wrapping up. Okay. I want you to continue to share that fellowship over morning tea. Now, we already talked about our lives reflecting our belief. That's a kind of a key theme within these verses, hashtag walk the talk. John has built the message of this section cycling through that proclamation, or cycling through a proclamation that God is light, that we're to live our lives walking in the light, showing in our lives what we declare in our words, and reminding us of God's forgiveness and love for us. Verses 1 to 2 of chapter 2 are pivot verses, where he both rounds out what he's just said and resets for what's to come next. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Effectively, he reminds them of what they have heard and believed. Jesus saves. Jesus advocates for us in the presence of the Father, pleading for mercy for sinners. And they know that Jesus is also the atoning sacrifice that secures God's mercy for us, so that we can be in right relationship with God. In a world not steeped in the practice of sacrifice, this is a difficult one for us to grasp. God, in sending his Son to live, die, and defeat death, has taken the initiative in providing the sacrifice which is needed for our sins to be forgiven. Jesus is both advocate and priest before God on our behalf, so that we who are sinners can come into his presence, just as Jesus came into our presence. It's a huge concept captured in one short phrase. Jesus saves. Truly profound. And that simple phrase, Jesus saves, goes beyond his life and teaching, beyond his death on the cross, beyond his rising to new life, to encompass Jesus advocating for any who walk in the light, whose sins are forgiven, because his sacrifice is sufficient to deal with the sin of the whole world. And my premise has been that John, a pastor and communicator, would have excelled at tweeting, because he knew the value of clear language to convey vast concepts. God is light. Walk the talk. God is love. Jesus saves. So what would John tweet? Possibly his most quoted verses. God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. Jesus didn't come to say, "How bad are you?" He came to put the world right. So come and follow Jesus. Love God. Love others. Show love in all you say and do. Hashtag believe. Hashtag live. Hashtag love. Let us pray. Holy God, creator of life, you call us out of our dark places, offering us the grace of new life. You spoke, Lord, and light penetrated the darkness. A good light, a strong light, a perfect light. But we went astray, loving darkness rather than light. So you sent your prophets to call us back towards the light.